Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Most of you are probably aware that a little over a week ago, one of the most historic Southern Baptist churches that we have, First Baptist Dallas, Texas, was burned. The sanctuary, which was built in the late 1800s, burned to the ground. They're still studying where the fire started. Most people think it started in the basement. They had just finished vacation Bible school, and according to one person as well as Pastor Jeffries, this was a place where W.A. Criswell preached, O.S. Hawkins, George W. Truett, others that I haven't even gotten to, Joel Gregory. I mean, just a historic church there in downtown Dallas stood behind the same pulpit. And according to the pastor and some, the only thing that was salvageable after the fire was the pulpit, the podium. It looks like it's going to be okay. Probably going to require a little help to go in their new worship center, but they're thankful. Some described it as a miracle that over the years, those great pulpiteers had great fire from behind that pulpit, and it's going to still have that opportunity with Dr. Jeffries and others by God's grace in the days ahead. Dr. Truett, who came right after that particular worship center was built in the late 1800s, once said these words, and he was pastor there for about 46 years. "To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement." Today's hot topic is, how do you know God's will for your life? As Christians, how do we know what the Lord wants us to do with weighty decisions? Now, I'm not talking about, do I wear my white shoes or my blue shoes today? There's choices that we make every day. I'm not talking about, do I go to Cracker Barrel for lunch or do I go to Broma's or somewhere else? Maybe the buffet. I'm not talking about whether or not, do I wear deodorant today or do I skip a day?
Wear it.
I'm talking about weighty decisions. Decisions that can be life-changing or life-threatening, or that can affect your children, or can affect your boss. It can affect your workplace, your colleagues. I mean, you probably understand the kind of decisions that I'm speaking of. In this very room, there are some that are seeking to determine God's will for your life. I mean, you really are. You're wrestling with it. You're doing the things that we're going to talk about today, and perhaps not, that you understand as a Christian you're supposed to do to try to understand what he wants you to do with this major decision. Could be about a spouse. Do you get married? It could be about where to go to college. It could be about, do I move and take this job? I mean, it could be a number of weighty, or changing churches. That's a big decision, a weighty kind of decision. There are those listening in this very room that you need a word from God. And you're looking for it, and even then it's a step of faith, isn't it? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and being certain of what you do not see. There is an element of faith in living the Christian life, just like there is when you put your faith and trust in Jesus alone. But there are also some in the room based on percentages and research and my own life and watching some of you, you know what God wants you to do. You just ain't doing it. Because you've been undecided. You have decided that, now God, I did this, but I'm doing that. I don't know about that. That's dangerous. Remember, it's faith. And there's some in the room, man, you just happy to be here. You can't wait to get to the buffet after lunch. But here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that if that's you, that God, through the Holy Spirit, His Word will speak to you, because the days are evil and you're here for a purpose and a reason and a mission. And if you're breathing, you need to know what God has created you for and wants you to do, so you won't waste your life. So if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, it's a familiar passage. The writer of Romans has just talked about the doxology and how the people of God are supposed to praise Him. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, that there's no one like Jehovah God. And the writer of Romans is saying, therefore, in light of that, my beloved children, children of God, because of relationship with Jesus Christ. He's saying, therefore, in light of that, be sure that you understand the will of God. And when I read that in a minute, it's going to talk about living sacrifices. We may think, well, in the Old Testament, we know there were sacrificial lambs. There were sacrifices made in the temple. And it might be, what are we talking about? Living sacrifice. We're New Testament Christians. And so therefore, we have died to self. And we are alive in Jesus Christ because we put our faith and trust in Him alone. And therefore, we are living sacrifices. Supposed to be living the life of Jesus Christ every day as we abide in Him from the inside out. In Luke chapter 1, we find Zacharias pray this, John the Baptist's dad. He said that we might serve without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our lives. In other words, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. It's kind of like loving Lincoln, what our students have done 2 years in a row. To set an example for us as adults, not that we don't do mission work locally, we should and we do and we want to do more, but what a great example. They're getting out there and different and partnering with First Baptist and other churches, and they're serving the community in different ways in the name of Christ. This is what it says. Therefore, urge you. Your version may say beseech you, urge you, brothers and sisters, meaning Christians, believers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. In other words, John 15, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit from the inside out. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Number one, if you have your listening sheet or your outline on the back of your worship guide, here's the first thing that we want to consider. Be sure you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The text said what? Brothers and sisters. In other words, there's an assumption. I am talking, the writer of Romans is talking to believers. And so we must understand that if we truly want to know the will of God and do the will of God for our lives and for our family, for our church family, for our workplace, for our team, for our friends, then we need to know that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about coming to church. Church is great. I'm for it. I'm not talking about being baptized. We have got a renovated baptismal, and last week it was a beautiful thing. That's important. I'm talking about somebody who's come to the end of themselves and they've said, "Dear God, I'm a wretched sinner. I'm depraved. I surrender. I can't be good enough. I'm wicked. I want to put my faith and trust in you," and you surrender your all to him. And you trust him as your Savior and Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Here's what 2 Peter 3:9 says, "God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It is God's will that everyone be saved." God wants children, and he wants us to surrender our lives to him and put our faith and trust in him. The Apostle Paul, who was very religious but met Jesus on the Damascus Road, he said it like this in 1 Corinthians 9, "I've done all these things that I might by all means save some." In other words, he took on different conversations, went to different places, not trying to be somebody he wasn't, but he was trying to meet people where they were. He knew that all would not become, because some enjoy or want to stay in darkness instead of light, and they willingly refuse to trust Christ. That's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin. That's part of the free will of men, which we talked about last week. But may we never, ever, as Christians, determine who that is. Keep sharing. Keep trusting. Keep praying for that person that's lost. And if you're here today and you're listening and you never put your faith and trust, guess what? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You come down here and talk to somebody right there where you are. Just say, "Dear God, I'm not sure how to do all this, but I know this. I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus, and I'm confessing you as Savior and Lord, and save me." You know what? It may be in the middle of the preaching. I know we don't have our prayer benches yet, but you just come down here. And you're not trying to disrupt the service. You just know, "I need to come down here and trust Jesus." Or you come down here and say, "Dear God, I'm lost. Save me." And the best thing you can do is tell somebody about it after, because it's good news. So if we want to know God's will, we've got to make sure we're on the foundation of a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't tarry. Put your faith in him. It is God's will. Secondly, be sure you are intentionally seeking God on a regular basis. We trust him as Savior and Lord. You know what Lord means? That means boss. So that means as Christians, we're supposed to allow him as we grow in our faith. We see what the Bible says, do this, don't do this. Why? Because he wants us to have a miserable life. No, because he loves us and he's protecting us from harm or getting off in a ditch somewhere where we shouldn't be. It means boss. You know, kind of like the chain of command. Your chain of command is not just for the military, you know. It could be in your home. It could be in your workplace. It could be on your team. My dad taught me about the chain of command. You know, for some reason, as I became an adult, I realized not everybody had my daddy as a daddy. Not everybody was taught the chain of command. Because I'm going to tell you what my daddy taught me. Son, if you can't get behind the boss and God can't help you get behind the boss, you need to go somewhere else and do something else. He taught me that. That's the right thing to do. Now, what some do is they don't like to get behind the chain of command. They want to do what they like, but when it comes to the boss, they'll justify it somehow or ignore it or pretend or just do something else. Now, let me tell you how that works with a Christian. It could be similar. He, Jesus, is the boss. Lordship means he is the boss. And we're to follow him. What better boss to have than Jesus Christ? Full of mercy, full of grace. Let me tell you what it's kind of like. I like to Piccadilly. Y'all know what the Piccadilly is? I'm sure you do. I recently knew there was one over in North Jackson. I believe it's still there. But the one that I used to go to was at the Metro Center. You know, the old Metro Center, there's a Piccadilly there. I saw a sign, a billboard recently. I was coming back from Clinton, haven't seen somebody in the house. I was coming back, and I saw the sign that said, it was still there. I said, no way. Way? I turned off just seeing. Now, I hadn't been there yet. I'm itching to go. We may have to get a busload in our new bus, go to Piccadilly. I know Kelly's not going, but I like to go. You go to Piccadilly, you get to pick and choose. I want the jalapeno cornbread. I want the beef steak. I want the black-eyed peas. I want a fruit salad. And I want a piece of cheesecake. It's Piccadilly. You pick and choose. And you know what we do? Sometimes as Christians, we pick and choose. Let me tell you something. The boss, Jesus Christ, says to you, and he says to me, Christianity ain't no Piccadilly. You follow me because I love you and I died for you and I'm your boss and I want what's best for you and I want your life to count and I want you to be a part of the Great Commission and serve me faithfully all the days of your life. I want you to experience the grace when you mess up, you get on the wrong path. I love you. That's why we need to allow Jesus to be the boss, to allow his word to be our food. Jesus said in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's in the Beatitudes. Here's what Psalm 40 verse 8 says, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, request in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, all you have to do is turn on the television. Therefore, the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's wills. And in Philippians 1:9 says this, and this is my prayer, that your love, Apostle Paul says to the church in Philippi, may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Number three, be sure you're not allowing the world to slip in to your thinking. It's a slippery slope. And as Christians, we need to be careful and we need to be reminded in the Church of Jesus Christ to be careful because the days are evil and there's a lot of trash and junk out there. School, social media, other places. We must be very, very careful. Be sure we're not allowing the world to slip into our thinking. 1 Thessalonians 4 says it this way, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That word means purity, practicing purity. It also means staying away from those things that the world promotes as being okay. The Bible says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is. Don't turn a cultural issue into a biblical truth. Example, abortion. Do you know that in a year and a half, I've not preached one sermon, entire sermon, on that subject. It's happening by God's grace next week. That is a biblical, not political, though some want to politicize it, that is a biblical issue. God is the creator of life. I get fired up about that too, but that's next week. Now, as a side note, about the Olympics. Over the years, I've not always watched every event. For me personally, that's a personal decision if you watch the Olympics or not, by the way. There's nothing the Bible tells me I have to watch it. But I like sports. And so over the years, I tend to watch the Olympics. Now, there's some things I don't watch. That thing where they've got that broom handle and they're on the ice and they... I don't know what that is. I don't really want to know. I just not wired that way. I don't care about that. I don't watch that. But I tell you this. I've never watched the Olympics for the opening ceremony. Now, maybe you do. Now, I've watched them through the years. I can take it or leave it. I know sometimes it can be cool. We're lighting the torch and people running. That's fine. I don't watch the Olympics for the ceremony. But the other day, I decided to watch a little bit. Kelly was in another room. I turned it on. I was watching it. I started looking around. This is trash. This is awful. Sensuality, Eastern mysticism, false religion. It was junk. And I thought, I don't have to watch this. I don't have to watch it. Because I kept thinking, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It got worse. Got worse. You know what I did? I went in the other room. That's what I did. Now, this is a personal decision. You got to find out what God's will for your life is. Because there's some, as Christians, we let people know. And people are. Through social media and other things. Hey, that was heresy. That was wrong. That was uncalled for. That was awful. Don't do that. Why'd you do that? I'm telling you, it was sick. Good grief. All right, I got to move on. But I'm going to tell you this. There's some that said, you know what? I'm not even going to watch it. They boycott it. Listen, that's between you and God. And if God has asked you to do it, you do it. But don't frown upon those that may choose to watch those athletes that have been working hard for decades, maybe years, and that some of them love Jesus, and some of them use that platform to share Christ and had nothing to do with the opening ceremony. They have anything to do with it. They're just glad to be there, and they're hoping to get a trophy. And some of them, not all of them, are hoping to use it to share the love of Christ. I can tell you this, there's a lot of cooperative program dollars of the Southern Baptist Convention that are over there sharing Christ, as well as Mississippi Baptists, as well as Mississippi athletes that are in these different events. So you ask God to tell you what he wants you to do. But we need to remember this. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So sometimes when I see the world going nuts and stuff on social media, on television that I never would have dreamed of, I think, well, the Bible told me that was coming. It doesn't mean we don't speak truth. We're not supposed to be salt and light. We're not supposed to stand up for what's right, but we got to understand people. Lost people will act lost. They don't know Jesus. So we must ask God to help us understand where the line is and how to handle it. Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. We want God to give us peace in our decisions. Number four, be sure you prayerfully and cautiously consider indirect ways God may speak to you. God can speak through circumstances. Spirits in God, Henry Blackaby, years ago. You're trying to find a book. It's a classic on discovering God's will for major decisions. Henry Blackaby, who's now in heaven, experiencing God. There's either a devotional book that he's got day by day. He talks about circumstances. Counsel. Proverbs 11:14, chapter 15, verse 22, 19, 20, and there's other examples. How do you do this? I'm going to go through number four that I just listed and give you some examples of how we do this. Other ways to consider knowing God's will with major decisions. Getting wise counsel. Now, don't ask everybody and everybody and everybody, but you're trying to make a major decision. Run it by some folks that you trust and you know and try to see if God speaks through them. Here's another way, creation. Creation shouts the glory of God. Take a walk around the neighborhood. Take a walk during in the woods. Go out by some of the lakes we have. Go to the reservoir. Go fishing for catfish. Go somewhere outside and try to see if God speaks to you. Go to the Haven Cross. That's a good idea. I know you may not want to go right now in the heat of the summer at noon, but sometime go and just say, God, speak to me. Creation shouts the glory of God. Wise counsel. And then crushing blows. Do you know the difficulty can help us understand God's will? He can speak to us. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. God is sovereign. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love God and called according to his purpose. Pain can help us understand the will of God and the direction. Counsel. Creation, crushing blows, and as I said, circumstances are common occurrences. When I started talking to the search committee, and that goes both ways, and we were talking in search committee at East Haven Baptist Church, and I were trying to determine God's will. This is an example of some circumstances and common occurrences. Little things, not the only things. Subdivision I moved to at Clinton in the 10th grade, still there, East Haven Subdivision. My sister's untimely death pulled us together quicker than we saw it coming, the search committee and myself, and we could meet face to face instead of that Skype deal where they're trying to see me and I'm trying to, you know, that's a whole weird deal anyway. And because of the providence of God, the way they ministered to me, helped me see the DNA of East Haven Baptist Church. We are not perfect by any means, but I'm going to tell you part of your DNA, and it's been this way, I believe, for years. You care when people are hurting, and you reach out to them. Far from being perfect, but that's pretty obvious to me. You're a caring church. God spoke to me through your search committee, showing me the DNA. And then when I came for a visit, the view of a call, met with the deacons, Mr. Nelson Chance comes up to me and said, now, what is your name? Hal Kitchings. And who is your granddaddy? Well, one of them was this and one of them was this. And that one was his pastor in Lincoln County when he was a young man. My grandfather was. Those are indirect little ways that God was speaking to my heart. But be careful. Don't let this last point be the only thing. Don't just let circumstances or things that happen. For example, I have been wanting a Camry for decades. I have been wanting a Toyota Camry for decades. My boy, Trey, when he was a teenager, I had one Camry. Now, it took me a while to go outside of Chevrolet. My daddy, the Big H, You go American and you get Chevrolet, son. As I almost thought it was in the Baptist Faith and Message. It wasn't. That was just him. He got to do him. You got to do you. I got to do me. And I finally decided to get a Toyota Camry. It'd been around a couple of years. Had good gas mileage. Man, I really like my white Camry. My son, when he was a teenager, he used my Camry. While I was gone, we were living in Florida. I went to Kentucky for a friend's revival and let my boy drive my Camry. He gave me a call, said, Dad, I totaled your Camry. Hey, accidents happen. I remember when I totaled my Nova in front of the Metro Center on Highway 80, and my daddy gave me some grace, so I gave Big Trey some grace. He didn't mean to do it, just like I didn't mean to tear up my Nova. Stuff happens, especially when we have teenagers. But I've been wanting a Camry ever since. And so, felt like recently, okay, time to trade in that Mustang. Most of y'all know I got a Mustang. There's a whole story behind a Mustang. I hadn't always been a Mustang guy. And so anyway, I've been wanting a Camry, decided to look into it this week. So I went and I walked. I had a certain one in mind. Oh, yeah. I knew what color. I knew what color I wanted the inside to be. And I knew I wanted this certain black trim. I walked in the store. And the car that I have been wanting and trying to wait for the right time was on the showroom. I started to say, thank you, Jesus, it's your will. No. Though that was a neat kind of circumstance, that wasn't the only thing I went on to finally take that step of faith this weekend. So be careful. We must be careful to do God's will when he shows us and to not make something that's our will when he doesn't clearly show us, especially from his word through wise counsel and prayer. Those are certainly his primary ways. And let me tell you this, Philippians 4:7 talks about having God's peace and that it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In finding God's will with major decisions, taking steps until the door closes or opens gives you a peace. In this journey, you take a step. You take a step, you say, he hadn't given you this or this. Sometimes you pause and you take a step. And it's amazing when sometimes eventually it's like he'll give you that peace. It's like, you know it's him. It's like, okay, there's still an element of faith, but you've given me the peace. I'm stepping out there, God. Help me. You're sovereign, and I trust you. Let me tell you something else about it. You can't hurry it. Ooh. I like to hurry stuff. Bible says in Psalm 27:14, wait patiently. Ooh, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous, yet wait patiently for the Lord. Before I close this morning, there's two things I want to share with you in closing. Number one is this. If we do not follow God's will, here's what can occur. Can go to hell. Marry the wrong person because you think you can change them. Hang out with the wrong people and they rub off on you for years. Have constant turmoil in relationships because Christ is not Lord, or miss the call of God on our lives and waste it. Number two. Give up the falsehood of thinking that if you do God's will, it will be easy. Life's not easy either way. We're sinful and we live in a depraved world. But if we know he told us to do something, it sure does help to know the best we can we're doing God's will. So he's helped us. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Dear God, help us to follow your will, no matter what it means. Oh, God, help us not to do what we think is right. Help us to do by faith as we've prayed through it what we understand is right according to your will and word and prayer life for our lives. Oh, God. Please use this passage today and other verses to help all of us live by faith. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you that you teach us, sometimes through wrong decisions, life lessons. Thank you, Lord, that you're sovereign. Thank you that in the providence of God, we understand what direction to go just out of nowhere sometimes, Lord. I pray during this invitation, if there's anyone that needs to trust you or come forward for whatever reason it is, that today that decision will be made and you'll give them the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.